the appropriate box to put Buc-ee's in is it's a very, very good gas station. Like the food you will get is better than almost all gas station food. The bathrooms, I have never seen cleaner bathrooms at a gas station. Like that's, and then the gas is almost always cheaper at Buc-ee's than the surrounding options too. So like if you just put that in a box, cool, clean bathrooms, better snacks, cheaper gas. Everything else, whether it's good or bad, is just a bonus. But like, now ironically, when we go to vacation, are we recording by chance? Because this is not, okay, yeah. When we go on vacation this year, our goal is to stop at, we're going to actually drive like 45 minutes out of our way on the way to vacation, stop at a Buc-ee's, and then get enough snacks for our extended family to try a new one every day. We were watching this one YouTube video. Actually, if you just want to like have a joyful YouTube experience, I'm pretty sure the channel's called Jolly, and it's these two British guys that like basically try different foods, and then like a big chunk of what they do is they'll take American foods and they take them to a British high school or in middle school, it's like an academy of some kind, and they'll try these foods for the very first time and just like watch their reactions. And what you really realize is how bad British food is. Because they're just like, I have never had something with this much flavor in it before. And it's like Chick-fil-A for the first time, or Raising Cane's, or even the Taco Bell episode is hysterical. Like the one kid started shoving one of the tacos in his jacket. He's like, I'm taking this with me. Like, jeez. But it's just that different and that new to them. But like they did Buc-ee's snacks in one of these episodes. They were like, this stuff's available all the time. Like just really going at
it. We were going down to go hunting and I went to Buc-ee's. And I bought it just because it was there. I bought a bag of kettle corn.
Oh, huge.
I am not joking. It was bigger than my pillow. And I bought it. And Matt was like, what are you doing? I was like, I don't know, but it must leave the store with me. So we ate it on our trip. I brought it home. We ate it.
Uh-huh.
Like it probably took us 3 weeks to eat all this kettle corn. But I'm like, I just can't walk past it. It's like
there are certain things that get me like that too.
I just wanted to own it. Yeah. Like I just wanted to say I did that.
Mandy and I one time did a version of that. Do you remember? There's a Shearer's factory, like the chip company.
Yeah, yeah.
About an hour from here, maybe 45 minutes. And on our way down the Amish country, they used to have an outlet store. So Mandy and I were like, let's just stop in and see what they have. And we bought probably the comparable size bag of kettle cooked mesquite chips. But it probably took us less time than it should have, but it still took us like 3 weeks to get through it. Like, but that was, it was the same mindset. It's like, this must leave with us. Like, it has to. Oh, we even watched a meat channel once where they took the meats that were available at Buc-ee's. And cooked them. And
wait, these like you're telling me there's a meat channel?
They had
channel?
A freezer section. Oh, I think it's literally.
There's a channel about meat?
The guy's name, I'm pretty sure the guy's name is Max the Meat Guy. It's a shockingly interesting channel because he's like, here's how you cook steak and this, that, and the other. The three of us enjoy it. We probably watch an episode of his every couple of weeks. But like he did, there's these Buc-ee's.
Wow.
There's a freezer section at Buc-ee's or something like that. And he was like, this pork loin is one of the best pork loins I've ever had. Like he couldn't believe what he was saying out loud. But that's our Buc-ee's entry. Should we look for sponsors for this podcast? Because we mention these things sometimes.
Wait, we've been recording that whole thing.
We get no kickback.
People are gonna be dumber for listening to everything we just talked about.
Jeff, that's how our podcast goes. The banter is like, let's even out the playing field.
I didn't know we were recording.
Kill some brain cells.
We talked about Buc-ee's way too long.
Well, what's hilarious is I even asked Jason, are we recording? He said yes.
I wasn't paying attention.
Well, I track that now.
I was reading my phone.
Are we recording by chance? Because this is not... Okay, yeah.
I'm sorry, everyone. Your IQ has dropped 5 points because of that conversation.
Now you know where to get good snacks and a good resource for how to cook good meat. I don't think that you're dropping that far.
I had no idea we were recording this.
That's the best kind of... That's what our listeners like, Jeff.
I don't know if they want to hear Buc-ee's conversations for 20 minutes.
It wasn't... it was max 7.
18 minutes.
No. See, our producer's even saying 5. 5 minutes. Well, and
I don't believe him.
Half of... you know when people say like, hey, we listened to you and we came by to encourage you. At least to me, half of the people are like, bro, that was so helpful. And like, you are really, your podcast is helping me figure things out in my faith. And the other half is, I just love listening to you guys go back and forth.
Listen, I want everyone to know, as your IQ, I don't even know if you can understand the words I'm going to say because you were listening earlier. We were not going back and forth. I was giving a monologue. Yeah, you were.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm sitting here thinking, how long is he going to talk about the meat channel?
Yeah. Well, you gave us a whole thing on kettle corn, so we went back
and
forth.
But I didn't know we were recording.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah. Well, that's what a great segue into our mixed messages episode.
Is it?
All of these things, they surround us, and we don't know how to interpret what's coming into our ears. And we're just trying to give you a way to, you know, find Jesus in all of it. I'm pretty sure that good meat and kettle corn will be available in heaven. So that's where we're going to be at today. Well, our next question does come from a listener today. And similar to me right now, where I am feeling a struggle of whether or not I am valued by you.
I just can't get over the fact there's a meat channel.
Oh, this Jeff, this is where
here you go.
That surprise to you tells me that you don't watch a lot of YouTube.
I don't watch a lot of YouTube.
Jeff,
I read my Bible. I read books that cause me to be more intelligent.
I don't
watch the meat channel on YouTube.
If we asked any AI right now, give me 100 random topics, I would bet you $100 that every one of those topics has at least one YouTube channel about it. Like, there's
I understand YouTube. Yeah. I don't understand watching meat.
I mean, it's basically our family learning how to cook. The amount of times we've taken tips from this guy and it has worked.
I feel like you're way too serious and way too passionate about the meat channel.
Oh, no way. I have so many people to introduce you to if you think I'm passionate about meat. Like, there's...
I don't know if I want to know them, Mike.
Oh, they go to your church. They know you.
I think I just want to live in my own little delusion.
Yeah, there's, you know, because there's okay steak and then there's great steak. And you got to learn how to make the difference.
In my world, there's I'm hungry and I am no longer. That's the depth of my food knowledge.
Oh, goodness gracious. Well, I tried to segue earlier, folks. Jeff will say it's my fault. It's all okay. That's what we're here for. But our listener does write in and is looking for some help, the way that they're feeling, the way that they feel like they're seen, and we do want to help them kind of cut through all those mixed messages around them. So here is today's question. I am constantly struggling with a need to feel valued, loved, and seen. This constantly has led me to long for a relationship. Is it wrong for me to have a longing for a relationship? I've been following Jesus for a few years now, but I constantly am in a cycle of trying to figure out, how do I feel complete by Jesus? And how can I consistently feel completed or content through Christ, as opposed to just longing for this other kind of relationship? So, Jeff, what I love about this question is, you can tell, even though this is only three lines, it's so sincere.
Mm-hmm.
You can just sense it in them. But there's this, this depth of longing. So, Jeff, how do we kind of navigate when we feel a little bit incomplete without that type of relationship in our life?
Well, it's a really interesting question, and I'm glad that you all held on long enough for Joe to get through the meat channel so that we can
answer
this question. Here's what I would say. The longing to be valued, loved, and seen is placed in you by God. Mm. So there's actually nothing wrong with you. So constantly longing for that, to be loved and valued and seen, I think it is definitely part of our humanity. Mm-hmm. So the longing is not the issue. It's how you satisfy it. So when you have longings or cravings in your life, those longings and cravings are there to cause you to go search for God, not to search for another person. And God often meets those needs within you through another person. So marriage is a construct from God. A family is a construct from God. Friendship is a construct from God. These things don't exist in the animal world.
Right.
Right. Now we'll personify. We're like, look, there's the pride of lions, and they are all our best friends. And that's Walt Disney verbalizing things. And like, we'll be like, my dog's best friend is my neighbor's dog. I'm like, yeah, they'll be fine if they never see each other again. So like, the deep longing of like, I want to have a friend. I want to be loved. I want to love someone. I want to be known. All of that is actually placed in us by God, and it's there so that it creates an instinct for us to go seek God. So I want to be real clear about that. Like, there's not a wanting to be seen, valued, and known is not an insecurity within you or a faultiness in you. Mm-hmm. It's actually a God-like character. It's the fact that you're created in the image of God. How you satisfy that is the big issue. And this is what happens. If you try to satisfy those longings out of order, mm-hmm. they will backfire on you and cause you more pain. So the order is seek God and then seek people. So the great commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then love your neighbor as yourself. You cannot flip those two things, mm-hmm. or the people become God,
right?
And you treat God like people. Mm-hmm. So God is something that will bounce in and out of your life. Your relationship with God will go up and down. That's usually how a relationship with people work. The people, then you'll worship, and this is what happens. Let's say you have this longing within you to meet someone, and God allows you to meet someone, but you flip it, and you're like, I met Heidi, that's my wife's name, I met Heidi, and she's going to make sure that I feel valued, loved, and seen. What I will do is I will demand from Heidi a satisfaction of my soul that only God can give. And when I do that and I put Heidi in God's place, I then will become angry and distant from Heidi because she cannot fulfill in me what only God can do. So I'll be mad at Heidi that she can't be God.
Sure.
Which will drive her away from me. I see the same thing in friendships. I see this in people all the time. They'll like latch on to somebody and they're like, you're going to meet all my needs. Well, another person cannot meet all of your needs. And so you will drain that relationship out, and you will have a best friend for 6 months, get really mad at them, never talk to them again, and then go on and get another best friend, and that pattern will just play itself out over your life. If you can put God in that first spot and say, Lord, I want to find security, I want to find assurance, I want to find a relief from anxiety from you, and you can learn to lean into God's word and learn what it means to be kind of satisfied through the Spirit of God, now you have something that you can give to other people. Because I give a lot more in marriage than I get, and that's true of everybody who's married. Mm-hmm. I give a lot more in parenting than I can get. It's true of everybody who's a parent, friendship, all the rest. And I really give more to friendships than I get from friendships. And it's only when two people are giving to each other that there's a satisfaction. Mm-hmm. Take that into friendship. We enjoy each other. I care for you when you're hurting. You care for me. I rejoice with you when you rejoice. It's only as you exchange that that there's meaning in all those things. If that is a one-way trip, then somebody's not going to feel loved and cared for, and your relationships are going to break down. So I just think that's really, really important, that there's nothing wrong with you. It's how you satisfy those things that is the key to it all.
Yeah, I think that, in so many ways, we could just wrap up the podcast, Jeff. I mean, that really is the answer, because we almost like shame ourselves into why do I want these things when, as you said, like a big part of that's the way that God wired us. We're supposed to be relational. But like if we're pursuing those things as our like definition of personal success or as the, like, the amount of people I've talked to that, whether it's in their dating or sexual relationships in particular, where they're like, I was pursuing those to feel worth living. Yeah. Like, that I wasn't a worthwhile human being if I didn't receive that type of attention. It's like, okay, now you have crossed that line that you're basically talking about, where it's becoming your definition. But, like, that's what was established on the cross. Like, Jesus is saying, you were so worth it that I gave my life for you.
Yeah.
Like, you are worth it. I love you. I see you. I'm trying to pull you in. I want to prepare a place for you. I want you to be in my home with me forever. Like, you have the worth. Now, let's walk together and help you learn what you just said about it's better to give than to receive when it comes to relationships.
Yeah. And I think the you have the worth, you have the value. Like, the second part of his of Adam, maybe it was or her his or her question is this. It says, they say, but I'm constantly in a cycle of trying to figure out how to feel completed by Christ. How can I consistently feel completed and content through Christ? I'm going to tell you an answer. It's going to shock you. Ready? You can't. So, relationships, never think of your relationship with God outside of relational terms. Relationships are by their nature cyclical. Mm-hmm. So I cannot feel valued, loved, and seen by Heidi all the time. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I feel taken for granted by her. Sometimes I can feel wildly in love with Heidi and 2 minutes later be wildly irate with her.
Sure.
Because it's the nature of a relationship. So when Heidi's leaves a void in my relationship with her, my job is to pursue her and find her, mm-hmm. not sit there and wait for her to come and say, I'm sorry, I didn't get your needs met. Well, the same thing is true of our relationship with God. When I'm feeling distant from God, that is what causes me to pursue him. Mm-hmm. They're using the word cycle, which I get, because it feels like I'm real excited about Jesus that I'm not, and I would just use the word relational. Mm-hmm. That is the ebb and flow of relationships. There's nothing broken there. It's when you feel that absence that you go deeper and harder into the relationship. Our daughter Naomi lives in Mexico full-time as a missionary. I call her when I miss her. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Me missing her is what causes me to act. Mm-hmm. That makes sense? Mm-hmm. And so these are not broken things. Yeah, these are relational things.
If you were just content with, no, I love my daughter and she loves me, if there was some way for that to work for quote-unquote ever, you would never call her because we're good.
We're good. And sometimes, and when she doesn't need me, like right now, two of her brothers and her one sister-in-law are in Mexico with mm-hmm. her on a missions trip. Naomi's not missing me right now. Mm-hmm. Her needs are being filled. Well, that doesn't mean I'm unseen, unvalued, or unwanted.
Right.
So if I am so deeply insecure, I would not call it deep insecurity, I would probably call it relationally unhealthy. If I cannot like allow Naomi's needs to be met by another person without feeling hated or rejected by her, and then if I'm the one that has a relational need and she's doing great right now, I might pivot and just call a different person. Mm-hmm. You want to watch the Cavs game? So now I'm doing the work of creating a relationship. I think what happens so many times is we sit and we want everybody to come to us and meet our needs, and we treat God the same way. And we have this idealized state that if I just met the perfect person, we would live happily ever after. They never catch up with a prince and princess 5 years in the marriage.
5 minutes.
Yeah. So and like if I just had the perfect friend, I mean, that person doesn't exist. You have to be a friend. And then my relationship with God, like there's a state of nirvana that I'm going to arrive into. I'm like, that's not the way that works at all, because we walk by faith mm-hmm. and we pursue Christ. So sometimes if I can just understand that that's what relationships are, it's wildly helpful. And I know that some of us are like better and easier at relationships than others. But my experience has been when I'm trying to love people, there's always somebody to be loved. And when you love them well, they love you back. And so it winds up being the foundation of all of it.
Yeah, I think the contentment, because like you'll read a past, like for, we've talked a bunch about Philippians 4, 13, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Paul starts with, I found the way to be content in all things. He doesn't mean you're going to be content and never need again. He means content because I've consistently learned how to walk with Christ no matter if things are good or bad. And I've learned the contentment that just because I go through one of these valley seasons where I don't have great connection doesn't mean I'm unvalued, unseen, or unloved. And so the contentment isn't, whew, that's done, moving on. The contentment is the relationship is right there whenever I need it. We have to continue to go back to it and for it.
And you might, if you chase that down the wrong way, you will wind up in relationships where you're unseen, unwanted, and unloved.
Sure, yeah.
They're called abusive or neglectful relationships. Mm-hmm. And So this is, I'm just trying to give you some principles with it. This is hard. Like when you feel that way, and especially if you felt that way over a period of time, it's really, really hard. Because if you're like, I've tried to make friends, I got it. But I would say run to the Lord. He satisfies. And then this is where I think the church is so powerful, that there are people that love you and want to be involved in your life. And you have to let that play out in a natural way, mm-hmm. not in a demanding way. And then you have to be the participant in it, mm-hmm. you know. And sometimes you're the one that has to do all the giving. And sometimes you're the one that takes all the taking, and that's kind of how relationships work.
Mm-hmm. It's just reminding me how most of mine work. I mean, Mandy and I, we're a part of a group that forces us to see those people a few times a month.
Yeah.
Our best friends, actually one of my best friends on the planet, I see once a year when we decide to travel together for a weekend.
Yeah.
Like, so that unattainable relational nirvana of like your deepest friendships, we're like, we're just going to be together all the time and we'll call each other almost every day and we'll hang out every weekend and on Tuesday night. Like, that isn't reality.
And it probably won't last.
That's true. Yeah, even if you can figure out a season of it.
Yeah, it burns you out.
Yeah, for sure. That's why we have to wrap up this podcast, Jeff. I'm done sitting with you today.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. The first 20 minutes were Buc-ee's.
Seven. All right. Well, thank you so much for tuning into today's episode and checking out all of our interests, as well as us walking through the contentment of relationships. If you have questions you'd like us to tackle, you can head over to bath.gracechurches.org/mixed messages. Send them our way. And we'd also love to hear how these conversations are helping you. So don't be a stranger. Let us know how we can help you move forward as well. If you're enjoying the podcast, make sure you subscribe, follow, rate, and review to help others find it too. And of course, we'd love to see you at Grace this weekend, whether in person or if you're starting to check things out online. We'd love to help you get connected with these relationships and people that are running after Jesus together. Thanks for jumping in with us today as we continue to seek God's voice through all the mixed messages around us. We'll see you next time.